Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word to receive, to hear, Lord, to appropriate everything you have done for us. We just thank you, Lord, that we know that through it, Lord, that you give us life and victory. And we just come to you, Lord, today to thank you for that. And Lord, as we are here together today, Lord, we just open our ears and our hearts to receive it and to, Lord, appropriate everything you have provided in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the thing we've been talking about the last couple of weeks is really how to act on the word. This is really the most important part of our coming to the word, because we can read the word, we can study the word, we can know the word, we can quote the word, but if we, and we can even believe the word, or what we think we believe the word, but if we don't do something with it, it's not going to work. As simple as that. And the problem is that often we do not understand what means actually to act on the word. Some things are evident. I mean, you know, says do not kill. It's pretty easy to understand that what you shouldn't be doing, isn't it? Okay. Well, that too. Sometimes, you know, our attitude toward others of being hatred and something like that is still falls into that commandment. So really, it's not so, always so evident. You know, sometimes we feel that somebody has done something against us and has hurt us, and we feel right, that it's our right to be resentful. Well, under that commandment, that doesn't work either. It's something that we have to change. Okay, so it's not always so evident about the things we should be doing. But in some cases, it's even more difficult. So we know this is really one of the areas in which people come short. When people do not understand what to do with the word in their life. When there are direct command, it's easy enough. I mean, you know what you should do or not do. But when there is not a direct command, when there is an instruction or something, you can see that can be misapplied. For example, when it talks about be renewed in the process, with your mind, through the word. Well, how do you do that? If we took someone of the song that we sang before, it was saying, renew my mind. Well, it's not God that renews our mind. We had to do the work. We cannot renew. God is not doing it. It's a work that we had to do ourselves by exposing, by meditating, by thinking, by applying, and so on. This is the things that happens as a result of what we do, not what God does. He has done everything that could be done already for us. What we had to do is a part that we had to take over and take responsibility for our own walk, so that he can actually achieve the purposes that he has planned for us. See, so sometimes, especially in modern songs, there are lots of ideas that theologically don't hold together. And we just take them and listen to them and the music they carry us around, and we just do not think through what really is being said. And so that carries over maybe later on in the things that we try to do, because we try to apply those ideas and we think that we are going to receive that way, but instead we are not receiving that way, because this is not the way to achieve it. Are you following me? So we are, one of the things that I said last week, and we are going to see it again. There is a couple of scriptures, but, he said that we had to see if we are in the faith. You see, we had to walk by faith. We had to do things by faith. We had to act by faith. And there are three different ways we can see. I said, feel within yourself, are you really believing? And really, believing is, you go by feeling, but sometimes feeling can be deceiving. Okay, feeling are just something else, the results of what's going on in our thinking. But our thinking too, we can just reason around things. So there are three ways really that there to be influenced or that they, we can look at and determine really what we believe and what where our faith is. First one is the thing we think. And this is really the least significant because we can fool ourselves. You know, and really even, you know, the verse is specifically says that we have to cast down imagination, any high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God. So you see, evidently our thought can be anywhere. And we had to, you know, the part we had to do is we had to take active intervention in our thinking, you know, stopping ourselves from thinking certain things, changing the way we think, changing, you know, controlling what goes on in our mind, because our mind can go anywhere. And the enemy is ready to put in thoughts or situations around us, trigger things and memories that brings us to think about things that are really not constructive and are not against what God says. So, you know, there is a part we play that has to do with us taking responsibility of what goes on in our head. And sometimes, you see, the problem is that what goes on in our head is triggered very quickly. It takes a millisecond for a new thought to come to you. By the time the thought is there, are you going to all go along with it or are you going to take a position? So you have to be aware. Awareness of what's going on in your head is important because this is where you take control of what you are going to be moving toward and the feelings and the reaction you're going to have. But this is not the only way. You know, there are, so I said three ways. The second way is really what the things we say. Jesus said very clearly that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, it would be just that simple, it would be good, and it's true. You know, somebody that understands spiritual things can maybe pick up even when you say things that you really don't believe. Because we often know the things that we should be saying and we say them, but we really don't believe them. And so, you know, sooner or later, that's going to come out. Not only that, but within ourselves, we are going to say things to ourselves that really do not line up with the things that we say aloud. So really, even that doesn't really completely resolve the issue. Even that, we can go around and convince ourselves of things that are not true about ourselves. And there is a final third way that is what the things we do. And this is possibly the most really reliable thing. Because if we see what we do, generally what we do is because of what we believe. We always act and do the things according to what really consciously or unconsciously we believe. Most of the time, you know, our beliefs are actually more unconscious than conscious. Because we repress them. We don't try to, you see, we know that they're not the right beliefs. And so we try to say that they're not true. That we are not believing it, but we really are believing it. Because we depend on the things around us that influence the way we think. So the idea is then, the question is to see if we really, what our actions are. If we believe that prayer is powerful, then we are going to be praying. If we believe that when we pray, we waste our time, even if we are in an environment in which other people encourage us to pray, we are not going to spend too much time praying. And it's not because, you know, it's just because we don't believe it. And so, we just, you know, the what we do is we generally do the things that are we think that are going to be more beneficial to us. If you think you're going to get nothing, why should you do it? You may not do it consciously, but you end up doing it. You know, if you believe that you are healed, you don't go around, even if you have symptoms on you yet. You're not going around feeling sorry for yourself and walking, you know, or, you know, you just, you, it's going to be evident for your attitude and for your the way your body works, that even if there are some problems there, you know that you are winning. But if you go around defeated and thinking, you know, deeply believing, and you can be there quoting, "By stripes I'm healed," and then this time you say, "You know what? The doctor said I'm going to die." Are you following me? You're not going to be too joyful. But if you believe that by stripes you are healed, even if the doctor said you're going to die, you are going to be joyful, because you look forward to the things that is going to be happening, because you believe that that's going to be the truth. Are you following me? So you see, your attitude is reflecting. You see, your action, the way your body works, is going to be determining what your beliefs are. Praise the Lord. You know, Lake said something that could help us in a way. He said that the it's a law of human nature that we can act ourselves faster in believing than believe ourselves in acting. Okay. He said that it's a law of human nature that we can act ourselves into believing faster than we can believe ourselves into acting. See, what it's telling us, it's telling us that sometimes we have to take action before we even believe it. That we, in a way, when we do that, we force ourselves to put ourselves in a position of actually believing it. See, what we do, if you go around joyful, even if you have a bad situation, this is going to affect you to believe that God is working in the situation. Because your focus is determined by your action. So sometimes, you know, it's good to act. All right. So there are things that actually we can do. You see, when we think right, when we speak right, and when we act right, we know that no matter what the situation is, the result is going to be right. And it's going to be acting right, speaking right, and thinking right is just nothing else, and not, you know, is doing what the Word of God says. That's what it is. So, some of the things we can do that influence the results we get. First of all, we saw it already, you know, what we say. Because we have a control. We have control over all these things that I said. You know, we have control over our thoughts, but it's much more difficult sometimes to control our thoughts than control our mouth. Because the thought can be there and we can say nothing, but, you know, you're going there thinking the wrong stuff. Okay? So, but, you know, when we start confessing with our mouth, you know, what we do is taking positive actions or a positive decision about doing something that lines up with the Word of God. Well, that's what our confession should be. It's not anything that comes to our mind, it's not just a question of positive confession. See, positive confession is not necessarily going to work because it's just mind thing. But when we confess the Word of God, what is a completely different thing. You know, His words are spirit and they are life, so there is a spiritual component there that is affecting us in the right direction to make us, being in alignment with God's will, with God's ideas, with God's way of thinking, and with God type of results we are going to get. See, that's why in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, you know, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised them from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, the implication of the result, it seems almost You see, it seems almost illogical that there is something physical happening, okay, something real happening from Jesus, simply you saying something that is just sounds waves going out of your mouth, okay? But there is more than that. There is a congruence between the sounds wave that comes to your mouth, the thinking that you have, you know, and the attitude that comes to you, and that brings about a reality in just, not just the physical world. The physical world, the impact at that moment is simply, you know, waves of pressure in the air producing the sound. And so there is not a direct relationship between the waves that happens in the air, you know, and the pressure, but there is, to the actual physical world around. Maximum you can move some air, whatever, when you blow on that, but that's not it. It's what's going on inside spiritually that produces the result, because it's a spiritual component that produces the results and affects everything, affects our behavior, expect the results we get, affect the sickness that we can overcome, except anything that we have, the impact in our life. So, it says that we shall be saved. Saved, you know, really, the word there implies, you know, delivered, healed, made free, you know, made, overcoming the situation, whatever it is. And it's all not just spiritual, but it's physical. And actually, when we do that, the miracle that takes place when we are saved, you know, when we accept the Lord Jesus, is the greatest miracle that can ever happen, greater than any healing, greater than any other things, because there is no greater miracle than somebody's spirit being alive, becoming alive when it was dead. That is the greatest miracle that can ever take place, that is nothing comparable to any other things that can happen in the physical. You see, nobody can do that for you. I mean, somebody, I can have faith for you and you get healed. But I cannot have faith for you and get you saved. There are many things that my faith or anybody else's faith cannot do for you except your faith. And we have to understand that so that this, you know, we can act and understand and apply those principles to our life. But to start with, you see, that's what we can do, that we have to know that what we say and what we believe are going to be an effect on us and the world that we and experience and the results that we have and the freedom that we have and the healing that we have and everything else. So we said, you know, with the heart believing unto righteousness, and with the confession is made unto salvation. It is the heart that makes us. It's not our action, but our heart that makes us become righteous. And I mean, become righteous means that our relationship with God, it's okay. We are not, our relationship with God doesn't become okay because of the action we did. It's because of what we believe. Now, what we believe is going to impact our actions too. But that's not, that's the end result. You see, and so the things we say is not anything we say. We should say things that are in agreement with the Word of God. We have to confess the Word of God. It's not anything that we confess. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You see, we believe what the Word of God says, and we speak accordingly. We say, well, you want, you don't believe, you know, well, you start speaking it even before you believe it. You see, you start speaking it by meditating on it. We start speaking it by speaking it out. We start speaking it by agreeing with it. And as we start agreeing with it and speaking it, you end up believing it too. You see, as you do that and you take action, you see, this is an act of faith that you take about speaking it out. And as you speak it out, one of the results that you get is that you focus on that. And because as you focus on that, you are going to get more understanding about it. The more you get the understanding, the more you appreciate what is there, the more you see through, and the more the Holy Spirit can work in you to bring you to the place in which you can really spiritually break through in that particular area that becomes a reality in your life. So that's where you start. You start speaking and confessing the word. Evidently, you have to speak according to it. See, when you speak, you know, the thing that you say, one of the things that you have to understand is that you speak not the problem, but the result. You speak what is going to happen, not what the things you are going to have to get rid of. See, people that are focused themselves on the mistakes that they make or the sins that they go through, they can never break through because that's what is going to be in their heart and their mind. They have to start speaking about the righteousness of God that's going to be in them as they focus on God. They have to focus on God, not on their problems. They have to focus not on themselves, but on Him, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So this is where it starts. You know, in Isaiah, even in Isaiah, Old Testament, you know, it says declaring, you know, this is what God is, declaring the end from the beginning. You see, is the end, before the end comes, you have to speak it out. So you say, see, this is why you say, by stripes, I am healed. And you are not lying because what you're doing is speaking a truth that is true spiritually. Now, you know, we have to make a distinction there. The word says that we should say that, you know, that what Abraham did is speak of the things that are not as though they were. Lots of people confuse themselves and end up speaking of the things that are as they are not. And this is wrong. This is not what God says. You know, if you are sick, you are not going to say, I'm not sick if you are sick. Because the symptoms are there. What you should say is by, you know, I am healed. It's not that you are not sick. Are you following me? Because you are sick, your symptom says you are sick. What you have to say is by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. That's the truth. The other one is not the truth at the moment. The fact is that your symptoms are there. So you cannot, you see, this is not Christian science. Christian science falls into that kind of a mistake. There is no sickness. Well, you know, people die because there is no sickness. So it's not true that there is no sickness. The fact is, the truth is that by Jesus' stripes you are healed, and if you allow that to implement in your life, you are going to get over it. Are you see the difference? See, this is Christianity, not Christian science. That's not the truth. Okay. So, see, take scripture. I mean, you have to take scripture and apply them to the word. You cannot just come up with your own theory. You know, even taking, for example, Mark 11:23, says, well, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. It doesn't say that the mountain is not there. You move the mountain. But the mountain is there at the moment. You know, there's no doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. So that's the thing that we have to understand, that we have to speak the things that are not as though they were in reality. Why? We can do that for the things that we really see that God will is to do, speak about. Actually, it's even broader than that, but I'm not dealing with that topic yet. So, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You will have them. So, that's two things to already see. So, you speak the word, you speak, make sure that you speak according to the word. Because, you know, one thing is to speak the word, another thing is to speak according to the word, because you can be talking about other things that are not really the word, but they are the experiences or the things that are happening in your life, and these have to agree with the word of God. And finally, there is a way of dealing with the situation we are in. You know, one of the things that happen is written all over the Bible is to rejoice, to praise the Lord. Okay, well, you know, praising the Lord for the answer, even before receiving it, is a sign of us acting in faith and believing God to act on that. You know, about Abraham, for example, in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, says, he did not waver at the promise of God to unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So you see, praising God, when even we don't have the situation, for the situation, not praising God for what happens, what is taking place now, but what happens is going to happen in the future, for it's going to happen to us, what we expect to take place. We start praising the Lord and giving glory to Him for that. That strengthens our faith, because what does is focus us on the result. You see, it's always the same thing. You look at what God is going to do, and you believe what God is going to do independently of what the situation is. You see, we worship God and praise God in all situations, but not for all situations. There is a big difference of that. Okay, if you have a problem, you don't praise God for the problem you have, but you praise God for the victory that is going to be at the end of the problem. When it talks about temptation, you know, if you remember James chapter 1, you know, it says, you know, to rejoice whenever you are tempted in all type of temptation. Well, you don't rejoice for the temptation. You rejoice for what? You rejoice because you know that God has made in such a way that you are protected and you are not going to be tempted more than you can handle. Not only that, but at the end, you're going to have the crown of God, the crown of life. Are you following me? So you see, these are things that we can do. Now, you know, this verse I was reading just before, you know, there was giving glory to God and being fully convinced or persuaded that what He had promised, He was also able to perform. So you see, that's what we give glory to for. It's because we know that He's going to do it. Not only that, and therefore, because we do that, because we believe that, because we believe that before it happens, it was accounted to Him for righteousness. See, the only way that we can get righteousness is not by the things we do, but because of what we believe. We believe God. We trust God. And that, it comes to us as righteous. That means, you know, righteousness comes before there is a manifestation for it. Let me explain this. You start praising God because Jesus died for you. And so you can be born again. You believe that you can be born again. Before there is any change in your behavior, you are going to start praising God about it. Okay? I give you other example. For example, in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, this is when Paul and Barnabas were in prison in Philippi. They were in jail. They were before they were beaten and tortured, and you know they whipped. And they were thrown in jail with their back was bleeding and was hurting and everything else. And it says that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So you see, I mean, there was nothing to be very joyful about. There was nothing to praise anything about, but they were praising God because they knew that God was in control, that God was going to help them, that God was going to do something for them. The look of the situation wasn't very good. Okay? And what happened? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately the door were open, and everyone's chain was loosed. Now, you know, that was something that was, you know, imagine you're there in this place, this cave, and underneath, you know, there, and suddenly there is an earthquake. Everything but a pleasant situation, is it? I mean, you can be crushed to death under the stones of the prison. Well, what happened there is just the opposite. All the chains of death were broken, and to the point that the jailer wanted to kill himself because they were going to be able to run away. See, this is the power that is. Why do you think that happened at that particular moment? They had to be set free. God was in the situation. They activated the power of God by, instead of being there, feeling sorry for themselves, they were bleeding on the back, hurting, and all the things that they had to suffer, to go through, you know, they were rejoicing and praising God aloud so that everybody could hear them. I mean, can you imagine the other prisoners that were there? They weren't really godly. Okay, they heard what was going on. You know, they were probably bothered by these guys at 12 o'clock at night, you know, making a racket. All right? Instead, all the chains were broken. It didn't say anybody died there. Amen? But for the chains to be broken, you know, to be set free, I mean, must have been a pretty strong type of earthquakes, working possibly in some places better than other places. All right? So you can see God's action is moved by when we start praising Him about the situation before we see the results. Okay, there could be many other places, but I'm just taking, for example, Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. I mean, when we start doing that, when we don't feel like it, when we are actually going through hard time, maybe physically, when we may be that there are things bothering us for the things we did in the past, says, praise the Lord all the time. Why? Because as we pray, these things are lifted up. You see, we are trusting Him. We are depending on Him. We are allowing Him to move in. And He heals all our diseases. He forgives all our iniquities, not just some. That means we become in a relationship with God, the relationship that He wants from us. And we are set free from our bondages. See, this is the way. See, David, who wrote that psalm, you know, he experienced that. He didn't understand about Jesus being crucified. He just understood what He did by revelation. And he had the revelation that we, when he started to worship the Lord, when we started, you know, coming into His presence with thanksgiving, even when things weren't going the right way, God will move in the situation. And so He will release, we know, the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done in that particular time. So, do you feel it or not? If we need healing, for example, that's where you start. I mean, start praising the Lord. You know, just quoting the scripture and just starting worshiping him and start praising Jesus for what he has done. The fact that by his stripes you are healed, and really making that a reality for yourself. Hallelujah. So this is we saw already, two or three things there to do. You know, praising God for the answer before receiving it, speaking about making sure that what you say about the circumstances line up with the word of God, and confessing the word. But finally, there is also obey the instruction of the commandment of the Lord. You know, remember when in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 says, whoever hear the saying of mine and does them, he will be like a wise man who built a house on the rock. And no matter what's going to come along, you're going to be overcoming, And this is where you are going to stand, even when the situation gets bad. When everybody else's house was blown away, you are going to stand because you are obeying what he said to do. Even when that seems like it's not the smartest things to do. But God knows better. Okay. In the Great Commission, one look at it only from the point of view of reaching out and ministering to people and bringing them into the kingdom, bringing them into a relationship with God. But there is much more into those scriptures. For example, you go to Matthew 28:19, says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. So you see, one of the components there is not just to make them go to church, but is to disciple them, to make them do the things that Jesus commanded us to do. And what is the result of that? That I will be with you even to the end of the age. You see, he's going to be being with us, is that we are not going to be by ourselves. He's there supernaturally working in situation when we ourselves cannot do it. See, obedience to the word, applying the word, doing the word, speaking the word, is what's going to release and activate the Holy Spirit to do the work that he wants to do. So, if there are areas in your life in which, do not line up with the results that the Word of God says you should experience, one of the things that we should do is ask ourselves, how are we limiting the Holy Ghost, the Holy One of Israel, the way the Israel did when he was in the desert? They stayed in the desert for 40 years, and many of them died before getting in. This was not God's will. You know that. We know that. But the fact that God wants something doesn't mean it's going to happen. God wants everybody to be saved. I mean, this point of view, accepting Jesus as Lord. Not everybody gets it. Jesus died for everybody. So everybody's covered, but not everybody receives it. And the reason is because they do not allow, by their faith, God to do the things that he wanted to do for them. They had to take the step of faith in believing what Jesus has done for them and accept him, and then not believe what the devil says to them, that they cannot do it, that they, that it's better the other way, or whatever it is. They just accept the false, the lies that the devil gives them, and they allow that to predominate in their belief system, so that God cannot perform the miracle of salvation in their life. It's the same thing in any area of our life. There is no difference whatsoever. Now, there are some things, as I said before, that we have to receive ourselves, like salvation. But there are many others. But there are other ways, other things that actually the faith of somebody else's faith can work for us. Okay. We have to understand the difference. And we have to understand that, where we ourselves come short of manifesting the faith and the ability of God in our life to be able to achieve the results that God has promised us. And this is why we are not operating in isolation, but we are operating in the body, in which we should be able to help each other in the areas that we can help, but in other areas we cannot help. I mean, for example, for salvation, we can bring the message, but we cannot exercise our faith for them. Okay. We can maybe exercise our faith in an indirect way, so that they are exposed to the right thing, so that they are, but we cannot get them saved for our own faith. The same thing with healing. We can believe for somebody else to be healed, but we have to be ourselves in the place that we can do it. Some people can even not even receive faith, don't have faith to receive for themselves. They cannot be able to get others to be healed. So we have to be open to God, to understand and realize where we are at and see where God wants us to be. Because his desire is for us to be like Jesus. And so we have to work toward that so that we can be used by him the way he wants to use us. But at the same time, okay, realize the part that we play ourselves in receiving from God. So that's the key to get God to move in our situation, to change, to fulfill his promises. See, all the promises of God are conditional to certain things, and they all depend on faith. Our faith, somebody else's faith, some faith has to be in the picture. It's just God doesn't just do it that way. He sometimes creates circumstances according to which things can happen, that, even if we cannot make ourselves. See, no matter where we are, no matter where we are in the level of our development, our faith, our spiritual development, God has a solution for us to bring us the solution. If he said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, he has a way to get you healed. But you have to participate, be willing to be cooperating with him, so that he can manifest that in your circumstances, which are different from somebody else's circumstances. Well, I think that we got there. Yes. Are you following me? Okay, well, this is so important because this is where really that's the difference between getting the results or not getting the results. This is where the final thing, and sometimes there is a progress. It's a process that has to take place for us to move where we are to where God wants us to be. Nobody is in the place where God wanted to be yet. Because his plan for us is to be like Jesus. And nobody is already like him. But we are in the way. Hopefully, we are getting closer to that. This is his desire. This is what he wants to see. And that has to be our desire. Because only as we believe that and we want that, then we can cooperate with him so that we get there. We get closer. We don't need to be in the desert for 40 years and then die short of it. He wants us to move fast. And so, to move fast, we had to act. We had to be obedient. See, the difference between people that get result and don't get result First one is obedience. If you don't obey, don't get anywhere. And the second one is perseverance. You are not going to take no for an answer. See, that's what makes the difference. You know, you can even be obedient, but then you give up. Doesn't get anywhere. You see, is the obedience has to be to the end. It's at the end that counts, not the beginning. Okay. And so this is why we had to develop grit to stay through and to continue until we get what God said we are going to get. That means we believe him. You see, because to do that means you believe him even if your situation is different than that. And by believing him, you give him glory. It's not selfish to want to receive what God wants us to give us. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think we should do a little confession. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. I am a believer. I believe that Jesus did everything that was needed for my righteousness and my victory. He conquered the enemy. And so I can benefit from his victory. And in Jesus' name, I can do all things that Christ called me to do. The Holy Spirit is in me all the time. He doesn't come and go. He dwells in me to work and to perform the acts that are needed to resolve my situation. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I have victory by his victory. I am alive to God because of what he did and because I believe him. I trust him. And I will receive everything that Jesus did for me. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.